Elder Joe Miller from West Virginia.
Good to be with all of you again. I think this is the third time I've had the privilege of attending here in person, and twice on Zoom, if I'm not mistaken. And some folks that were here when I first came are now with the Lord. But I'm happy to see some new folks. They're not really strangers to me because I've seen them so many times online. And that's good as far as it goes, but it's not like being able to shake somebody's hand or give them a hug or look them right in the eye and say, you know, the fellowship we have, I was sitting there thinking, the fellowship we have, we're told in Scripture that that fellowship is in the Son of God. It doesn't originate from us. Brother Gary, I'm going back to, I appreciate so much what you said Wednesday night where you outlined that every miracle, every prophet, everything that anyone has done truly for the glory of God, it originated with God Himself. Therefore, we don't have a thing we can boast about. I do sincerely. I say it every time, but I sincerely desire your prayers this morning. I know that I cannot do this without the help of the Lord. I know that. And I certainly desire your prayers that God would be glorified. And if God's glorified, then that's enough. I'm going to go to Book of Numbers, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read several scriptures, and I hope some way or another to be enabled to tie it together in some way that'll be of some benefit to the Lord's people. Numbers chapter 9, verse 18. It says, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. I'm going to have to back up, sorry. Verse 16. That's not right either. 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Now, I'm going to go read a little bit more. I want to go to Ezekiel, first chapter. Read just a little more. This was Ezekiel's vision, and he saw a vision of 4 living creatures. And he described those 4 living creatures. And he said, as for the likeness of their face, this is verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they 4 had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they 4 had the face of an ox on the left side. They 4 also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and the two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. And then down to verse 20. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when these were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up from over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. I hope you can see some idea in this of what I want to get to this morning. I've already mentioned that anything we do that's of any benefit, any spiritual activity, I'll go so far as to include any good works. Many people teach the necessity of good works. Good works are certainly something real elementary that we all know probably, but can be reminded of again. Good works are the evidence that God has begun a good work in us. But we're taught here that whatever we do, we are to wait upon the Lord. The children of Israel, the presence of the Lord was symbolized, we sang about it in the hymn, cloud by day and a fire by night. And it said when that cloud abode over that tabernacle, they weren't to move. Whether it was a day, 2 days, or a month, or a year, they were to stay just exactly where they were until the cloud, which represented the presence of the Lord, moved. And the wheels and the living creatures that Ezekiel saw in his vision, as the hand of God, as the power of God moved in heaven, they moved in unison here upon the earth. Now, we'll get into a little bit of history. I'm no expert in history, but I like to remind God's people of this from time to time as well. I want to tell you today, and I don't think it could be successfully, any successful controversy or contradiction to this, that from ancient times, the Baptist people, whatever name they wore at the time, those who stood for what we stand upon today, that salvation is of the Lord. The free grace of God bringeth salvation. Teacheth every man. The grace of God that bringeth salvation teacheth every man that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All the things that we stand upon. It was the ancient practice and the ancient belief of the Baptist people that they would only go as they were moved by the Spirit of the Lord. They didn't take it upon themselves. They didn't gather together a committee and sit down at the table and try to figure out we need to do this or we need to do A or we need to do B. What their hallmark was that without thus saith the Lord, they would not go forward. Amen. They were to wait. And I used to could quote it, but I can't quote hardly anything anymore. But I used to could quote at one time a little section of the Black Rock Address, which was drawn up at the church in Maryland where Elder Barnabas Brammer is now the pastor. And it says, the times of falling away, the times of leanness, Brother John, that you referred to, in the times of trouble and in the times of falling away, it says in some, we will not lean upon the arm of the flesh, but we will trust in the living God, who is during these times of waiting, trying our faith. And I think about Isaiah in the 40th chapter, where he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. During these long periods, sometimes of waiting, that's for our good. It's for our instruction. It's to trust us. I mean, it's to try us to trust in a greater sense in the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. I think about those in the scripture that had to wait upon the Lord. I was thinking of Joseph. Joseph was a young man. I don't know if I've read this or just assume it, but I think I have heard probably that he was about 17 to 20 years old when he gathered together his brothers and told them his dream that he had and said the sun, moon, and stars would bow to him, and he saw the sheaves and they would all bow down before him. And his brothers envied him and hated him, were full of jealousy for him to start with, because his father favored him above all of them, because he was the first child of Rachel, whom Jacob loved above all the others. And he made him that coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him. And they said, let's just do away with this dreamer, then we'll see what will become his dreams. And some of them would have even killed him, taken his life. But Reuben, the eldest brother, stepped in and said, no, we're not. He convinced them, we're not going to kill him, but we're going to sell him into slavery. Threw him in a pit. The caravan came by. You know the story. You know the account. He was carried down into Egypt. He was an innocent man. He served in the household of Potiphar, and it said the Lord blessed in the household of Potiphar everything that everything that was associated with his household was blessed because Joseph was there. And you know how he was an innocent man. He was falsely accused, thrown into prison. He revealed the two dreams. You want to see good human nature there. Told the men, I said, when you're taken out of here, remember me and remind them of what I've done for you. And they went and they forgot until Pharaoh had his dream. His dreams of the famine in the land, the good corn and the skinny corn, I'll call it, the fat cattle and the lean skinny cattle that came up out of the river. And then the man remembered there was a man back in that prison named Joseph who could God would reveal to him the interpretation of dreams. And he went, took him out, brought him before Pharaoh, and he, when no one else could interpret those dreams, he interpreted those dreams by the power of God. And eventually, I'll try to speed up, eventually, when there was a famine, as he said there would be, and the famine was sore in the land of Canaan, and Jacob sent his sons, all but Benjamin, the youngest, sent them down to Egypt to buy corn. And you know how it transpired. And he told them they had to bring Benjamin with them. And Jacob mourned and said, I've lost my one son. If I lose this one, my life is no good. I can't even continue to live. And they went down, took Benjamin with him. And you know that they bowed before Joseph just exactly as he had seen in his dream many years before, waited that long, humbled, about as humbled as a man could be, to be cast into prison and forgotten about. And in due time, he was exalted. And I think of King David. Remember when the Lord spoke to Samuel the prophet, said, I've rejected Saul from being king over Israel. Said, I'm going to send you to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse. Sent him there, said, you're going to anoint one of his sons as king of Israel. And he went there, and I love to picture this in my mind. The great big older soldier boys came in, one after another, after another, after another, and the Lord told Samuel, my word, not him, it's not him, not him. And he asked Jesse, the father of David, do you not have any more sons? He said, I've just got one boy. He's out, a shepherd boy out in the field, watching over the sheep. Sent, brought him in, this man after God's own heart, And when Samuel looked upon him, it was revealed unto him that this was the one. It said, God looketh, a man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And he was anointed that day, I believe, to be king over Israel. And it was 15 years, much of that time, being chased, running for his life, hiding. You read through the Psalms, many of those Psalms that David wrote by the Spirit of God was when he was in fear and for his life as Saul and his men chased and desired to kill him.
Amen.
But at the appointed time, he sat upon the throne of Israel. I could mention others. I don't want to take too much time with it. But I think about Sarah. Sarah is a good example both ways. Abraham and Sarah were promised. Abraham was promised that this man who was a servant was not going to be his heir, but he would have a son born of him and his wife, Sarai, at that time. And a number of years passed. The promise wasn't fulfilled yet. And Sarai got the idea that she would send in her handmaid, Hagar. She went in to Abraham. She conceived and bore Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, I'm often fond of quoting where it tells about his character. And it says he'll be a wild man. He's going to dwell in the midst of his brethren. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And I absolutely believe that we can see that yet to this day. But God also, when Abraham asked the Lord, he said, "Oh, that Ishmael." The Lord said, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham asked the Lord, said, "Oh, that Ishmael may stand before thee." And the Lord said unto him, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Yet he told him, "I'll bless Ishmael." He blessed him. He gave him a blessing. But the great blessing that the seed would be called the promised seed, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all nations of the earth would be blessed, was going to come by Isaac, whom the Lord had promised would be born to Abraham and to Sarah, his wife. I think about all the Old Testament prophets. Said they didn't receive the promises. They saw them afar off. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here upon the earth. It said, some better thing having been reserved for us. Do you realize this morning how wonderfully blessed we are that we can see we're in the way I've heard it put many a time, in the full bright sunshine of the gospel of the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw what manner the Spirit revealed to them. They got a little glimpse here, they got a little glimpse there, and all through those centuries they waited in hope for the desire of all nations, the one that was going to come. And we look back, I won't say it to full glory. We discussed this morning coming over here. 2 points. One, God withholds from us the ability to comprehend the depths of the depravity of the nature with which we're born. I have thought many times, we don't understand. We can't see the full picture of what we are just by nature. We would be in such despair if we would. I fear we would despair even to live. Yet we're shown enough to know by the Spirit of God dwelling in us, by which we have been regenerated, born from above, made to see, made to realize as we walk through this life that there's a warfare and a battle that we have to fight every day that we live. We're getting a little glimpse of what we are by nature. And on the other hand, none of us still in this flesh, in this mortal body, none of us could behold the fullness of the glory of God, and we couldn't stand it. I don't believe we could live in this mortal body if we had a full revelation of the glory of God. Yet rest assured, he said, I'll guide thee with my counsel and afterward receive thee unto glory. Someday we're going to see the whole thing. We're pilgrims and strangers, the same as these Old Testament saints were. These that waited upon the Lord, however long it may be. We're told, I believe, to do the very same thing. Trust in the Lord. How simple that sounds, but how difficult that can be at times. Waiting on the Lord. It sounds simple for me to stand here and say, wait upon the Lord. In Psalm 27 says, wait, I say, upon the Lord. And I'll take that word wait. There's really two meanings of that in those verses that we can apply. We all know what it means to wait. It means to stand aside, delay. However you want to define it. If I say wait for me till 11 o'clock, and then we'll leave, that means you're just going to linger around or do something until 11 o'clock, then we'll leave. But wait also means to attend upon and serve. So while we're waiting on God to fulfill His promises, and I'll tell you what promise I'd love to see fulfilled. I would love to see God's people here in this world. First of all, I'd love to see many who I'm confident are born of the Spirit of God, beloved of God, yet going about to establish their own righteousness, walking in the path I myself walked in one time, thinking that it depended upon me. It was a cooperative effort that God had done His part, but yet I was always seemed like there was little, not a little, a whole lot more for me to do, and I always came up short. Multitudes of God's people, I believe, are in that same condition today. They have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. I would love to see these folks, some of them, I would love to see them come to the comprehension that salvation is of the Lord. And that in no way is a license for us to just live a loose and haphazard life. Those two things are absolutely contradictory and opposed to one another. The Scripture says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And I desire to depart from it to a far greater degree than I have thus far. Another thing I would love to see among primitive Baptists, I'd love to see a moving of the Spirit of God, where God's people would be moved upon to seek Him, and I'm preaching this right to myself, to seek the Lord with our whole heart. He said, you'll find me when you seek me after me with all of your heart. Brother John, we don't know what may come. We may be lean. I'll give you another wait. It says in 1 Thessalonians, waiting for His Son from heaven. Don't forget that the Lord absolutely, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, will come. We live in dark and perilous times. I believe there were perilous times when Paul preached and wrote to Timothy 2,000 years ago. But I also believe, you don't have to agree with me, but I believe as the coming of the Lord draws nigh, I believe perilous times, that's going to accelerate. And it seems to me it's accelerating very rapidly in the day in which we live. Brother Eddie, I'm looking at you, remembering the remark you made on Wednesday where you said it seemed like the whole world has gone crazy. Can anybody with the right mind possibly look around and disagree with that? But oh, I'm thankful tonight. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come.
Amen.
but we don't know what the will of God is. It may be the will of God that he may revive his people. Wilt thou not revive thy people? Let's see. Wilt thou not revive us that thy people may rejoice in thee? That's not exact. I apologize to you. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice indeed? But in the meanwhile, I'll conclude with this, what little I've been able to say, if anything. I'll conclude with this, just something real simple but so profound, a commandment of God. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yeah.
Wait upon the Lord. However long it takes, God's never late and God's never early. We want God to do, if we desire something of the Lord, we want it right now. How childish and how foolish we are. Yet God knows all of that about
yes.
us. And he said, except as we become little children, that's what we are in his sight. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I appreciate, Brother Gary, something else you told me not long ago. Some people think that the doctrine of the grace of God, the saving grace of God, the free grace of God at the expense of the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Son of God is the meat of the Word. Brother Gary pointed out that is the milk of the Word. That's the foundation. Bear that in mind and thank God for it. If you have the knowledge of that, if you have the comprehension this morning that our eternal salvation is entirely a free gift of God in his eternal love and mercy, that we didn't do anything to obtain, we didn't do anything to deserve, but it pleased God for his own glory to just reach down and give it to us, that is a foundation upon which we stand. That's not the meat of the Word. We're to grow in this grace that God has given us, and we're to wait, attend upon the Lord in the meanwhile. And as I said, while we're waiting, God's promised to renew our strength day by day. All right, I'm going to close. I don't want to take any more time. I'm not looking. I have no idea what time I started. I just want you to bear that in mind. The children of Israel didn't move till that cloud moved.
Amen. That's right.
Paul the Apostle, he was going to go. I'll try to conclude, Brother John. Won't leave you standing too long. Paul the Apostle, he was going to go into Asia. And it said he was forbidden by the Spirit.
Right.
And then he had a vision of one from Macedonia. It said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And then he was going to Corinth, and he had a great fear of going there because he knew trouble would lay ahead. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go, I'm with thee. And he said, I have much people in that city. They weren't going to become God's people, because if Paul went there and preached and he could convince some of them to believe, then they'd be God's people. They were already God's people. In the mind and purpose of God, they were God's people before this world ever existed, just the same as you and I. And told him, fear not, go, I have much people in that city. He didn't get to decide. If he'd have decided, he'd have went on to Asia. But the Spirit of the Lord forbade him, sent him to Macedonia. Do you believe today that the Lord God Almighty that rules and reigns over this world has changed, or is any different, or is any less able to guide us as he guided them? I tell you, God forbid. God is just as able today to guide us by his Spirit as he guided them then. So let us continue on in that. Brothers and sisters, wait on the Lord, however long it may be, however difficult it may be. And while we're waiting, attend upon That means look upon him, study upon his word, seek him in prayer, and in love, it says, serve one another. That's a good thing and the best thing we can do while we wait. I pray the Lord will bless the remainder of this meeting, and I just want to tell you, looking around today, I'll just say it plain out like I always do. I love you for Christ's sake. Some of you have known a long time. Some of you have known a few years. Some of you I've met very recently. But I just feel the same about every one of you. And I know that didn't originate with me, because I know by nature what a hateful, mean old person I was and still can be. I know that that is the evidence that we've passed from death unto life. All right. The Lord bless each one of you.